You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
And welcome to the front line here on this 22nd day of the month of December in the year 2025.
Oh.
And, you know, if you may not have noticed, but 2025 is rapidly running out.
Oh, man.
Isn't that? I'm kind of glad about that. I mean, you know, I'm good for a year and then I got to start a new one. It's always been my thing.
Yeah. But, I can't believe it's almost over.
I know, but, well, it is. But we're starting, so we're not over. We just got started. And we have a very special approach today when we even have a special guest to join us. Our actual scheduled guest for today had a family health emergency and couldn't be here. So I thought, well, I could throw a backup in, which we often do. But instead of that, the Lord got a hold of me and said, "Well, hey, it's Christmas week. Why don't you talk about Christmas?"
That's an original song.
Great plan.
Great plan. And so before we go there, though, I want to introduce, and we have a very special co-host today, our general manager, Jonathan McClain. And good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning. Good morning to all of our family. Merry Christmas, and great to be with you.
Hallelujah. And, of course, our ever-present Ed Skiba.
Oh, what's his name?
Oh, what's his name, yeah.
Another beautiful South Florida morning.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Oh, yeah. Great.
And, you know, when you're looking at life through the lens of the gospel, and you're coming from the standpoint of being a child of God and having Jesus in your heart, and very critical, is that no matter what the weather looks like, no matter what the news is talking about, it's a beautiful day.
Amen. If you have joy in your spirit.
Amen. And that's true joy is a gift of God. It's not brain chemistry.
That's right.
Although back in the early days of my life, I did try to manipulate brain chemistry a little bit through chemicals. That was in the 50s and so, 60s and 70s when, you know, they were saying better living through chemicals. But that is not true.
Through chemistry. Yeah,
through chemistry,
remember
right?
That.
That is not true.
You're anyway, absolutely right.
So because we had a shift, quick shift topic-wise, seemed, yeah, let's talk about Christmas. And so what we're going to do in this hour, I've broken it up into three segments. First one is Old Testament prophecies pointing to the birth of Christ. And we have some scriptures we're going to read. And the second segment is that point where the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and gives her God's plan for her life and the carrying of his son in her womb. And then, of course, then the last is the birth of Christ, all scriptures. And then we're just going to let the Spirit guide us because there's a lot to say, more than we have
Amen.
Time for. We can invite our listeners to call in, and yours truly is going to use up a lot of physical energy to run to the phone in the lobby to make sure we can get those calls.
Okay.
We don't want to keep you from calling if you have something the Lord's put on your heart. So we're going to start with, you know, the Old Testament is full of prophecy of the birth of Christ. And some of it we read during the Christmas season, certainly. But what I want to do is get us started just reading some of those scriptures. And frankly, if you're not driving and you're able to write notes, some people like to make notes about things they hear on the air. So the scripture citations, I will read those, then read the scripture. And then you too can go back into your Bible and revisit the Word of God.
Yeah,
because God, you know, didn't keep us ignorant about his plans.
Right.
To save us.
There are over 300 prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament. Are
yes.
you going to read them all?
No, Ed. I have cherry-picked.
Okay,
I have cherry-picked.
I'm just checking.
I know, I'm glad you asked that. Some of our listeners needed to know.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're having music during the breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's 3.5 to 4 minutes, these pieces.
Yeah.
They're all Christian pieces.
Are you playing your banjo?
No,
don't worry.
No, that's still in
are
the case.
Are we picking on David this morning?
You're not singing, are you?
No, definitely you're safe there. No, I'm just in prayer about that whole music thing, Jonathan.
Well, we're trying to retrieve all of the listeners, you know.
Yeah,
that they,
I'm trying to bring them
right.
Back.
Stick with us. Stay with us.
I usually hang in sing there. Solo. No, solo, they can't hear
really?
Me.
Really? Yeah, right. No, we're not, definitely, I'm not going to sing. Nobody hears, unless the Spirit makes us break out in song. I can't control that.
Well, we're bringing in some great guests that'll be at the breaks.
Yeah. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. You bet. So in the Old Testament, there's a rich raft of prophecies about mm-hmm. the coming of Christ. I'm going to start in some of these are one verses, but Isaiah 7:14, there's actually two sections in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And that's one verse, but think how packed that is. Mm-hmm. And then further on in Isaiah, in the 9th chapter, verse 6 through 7, is what we often hear in the Advent season, or close to the end of the Advent season, before we get onto Christmas Eve and day. It's Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." And then from Micah, we go all the way into Micah, we call one of the minor prophets. That's not because he was under the age of 18.
Yeah, I was wondering about
that. Yeah, I know, Ed. I was anticipating you. Micah 5:2. "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." And now we go back to Isaiah, to the 11th chapter, verse 1. "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." And of course, Jesse being the father of David, and Jesus coming, being part of the house of David. So all that linkage prophecy to David. And then finally, the last bit of scripture we're going to hear this morning from the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. And this is God's promise to King David about his establishment of his house and his throne. "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Of course, he's talking about Solomon in that regard. "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you." And this is the key. This goes beyond Solomon. "And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." And that, of course, is in Jesus.
Amen.
Well, gentlemen, this is a lot of conversational opportunities here.
I'd like to comment on Micah. On the Micah 5:2 reading, "O Bethlehem Ephrathah," many people out there don't know, we refer to Jesus as the bread of life. We always refer to him as the bread of life.
Mm-hmm.
The word Bethlehem is Hebrew for the house of bread.
Oh.
And many people don't pick up on that. They don't understand that. And that's where the bread of life is associated with that.
Yes, absolutely true. That's I didn't know that until recently.
Yeah.
I mean, not 2 seconds ago, but
yeah.
David, as you were just reading through this, I was pulled back to one of my trips to Israel. We were visiting, and I don't recall the name of this. It was a tourist area that was open, but it was an area where they endeavored to reestablish all the biblical vegetation so that people that would come to Israel would be able to have somewhat of a learning opportunity. And they had several different things there of interest. One, of course, had to do with the olive press. Mm. And so that was interesting, and they had a little bit of a pavilion for that. But the story that tied into this scripture, they read this scripture, Isaiah 11:1, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse." Mm-hmm. They had moved this mature olive tree, and it was of some size, to the area next to the olive press, and so they brought this tree in. We see this here on the coast. A lot of times trees are moved. We see them on the back of semis where they're moving them mm-hmm. in. So something of that nature was done with great care. It was brought in, of course, properly watered and cared for. Mm-hmm. But the tree just died. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did everything they could. They couldn't. They could not keep it alive. And they continued to care for it, even though everything seemed to be dead, and were hopeful that mm-hmm. maybe it would reawaken. Well, the tree itself, as a standing tree, did not. But a distance from the tree, there was an olive tree that shoot that came up out of the ground.
Mm.
And so the leader or the teacher that was there that day representing the area with all this natural vegetation went to the scripture and said, "We saw that as a living testimony to mm-hmm. this scripture, wherein from a shoot, from the stump." The tree itself had every indication it was dead.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But wow. out of that root, there was a large tree that had grown. And so the old trees removed from the stump, and so they immediately went to the fact that mm-hmm. Israel as a nation,
mm-hmm.
from all visible appearances on so many occasions, that as a nation they were going to be destroyed. But that God's word is sovereign, that God stands by his word, and Amen. That God reestablished the nation. So there was a great teaching point in that. But to me today, there's another point, and that is, according to the word of God, we were all dead in trespasses and sin.
Yes.
But through, and there again, we have this root that's going to spring forth from Jesse. We know the Star of David keeps the whole thought of the connection with the Messiah tied into David.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that we were all lost in sin,
yeah.
and we were dead in trespasses, but that through Christ, through the Messiah that has come, and all of this bears witness. And sorry, it just carried me back there that nice, cool morning we were in Israel.
Wonderful
and
story.
Thinking of how they could see the prophetic word in the natural speaking of the spiritual reality.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And the other, as you were speaking, and I was being reminded that when one of the reasons why I know God is having us do this particular program with the Old Testament prophecies and the New Testament is there are so many Christians that have a hard time tying them together.
Yes.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. I won't go into that. But point is that, and if you're a listener, if you're having a hard time with that, I would pray you go to God and he will connect it for you because it has Amen. To be connected. God is not a God who is disconnected. Everything that is happening in creation, God already figured it out before he made it.
That's great.
Amen.
Because we can't.
We can't. No. Well, I can. I know for sure. It's hard.
And did Jesus not say, "I did not come to destroy the law,
mm-hmm.
but I came to fulfill it"? And when you think about that, you realize that all of the New Testament is a fulfillment of the first covenant. I hate to call it old because anything mm-hmm. in God, even though it has age to us, it still is, I just call it the first and the second covenant.
I think that Amen. Makes a whole lot of sense. Amen. We also get caught up in issues of history in terms of time. And that can
be
very confusing. You know, again, God lives outside of space and time. And again, he did everything beforehand. Mm-hmm. So we have to, and it's a work of the Spirit. I have to ask the Lord when I read the word, help me understand this.
Yeah.
What do you want me to know today? God
Amen.
Will tell me. Because
yeah.
otherwise, I'm wandering around in the dark, really, without.
I've been challenged recently by some Christians that they refuse to accept that the prophecies in the Old Testament as being prophecies of Jesus. Oh, no, yeah. They were talking about this. I don't know they would. And I think the big problem with most of them is they have not had exactly what you're talking about, revelation from the Holy Spirit in their spirit. Yeah. And they won't allow it. I heard a great statement, and I wish I could remember who the preacher was that said it. But he said, if you don't believe in the Old Testament and what happened before, how can you believe in what's going to happen?
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
In the future, if you don't believe in the past, how can you believe in the future? And if we don't look at the Old Testament and the prophecies of Jesus there and let that be our foundation for our faith and our belief now, we're lost.
And because the church has been given the whole of all 66 books of the Old and New Testament, we call it the Holy Bible. Mm-hmm. It's in unity. How can a book, a collection of books, rather, that really the Spirit delivered to the church,
amen,
how can we at the same time say there's a disconnect? Because for those people that say that, they're confused. But God is not a God of confusion. I think that's in the Word, too. We have to then, if you believe that there's no connection in the Old and New Testament, yeah, I beg you to get on your knees, go into your prayer closet, and ask God to correct that.
Yeah.
All of these scriptures that are prophetically spoken, you know, some hundreds of years in advance, you know, we look at that maybe even much more than that. It requires us to look at the laws of probability. And if you look at those statistics, the statistical possibility of this just accidentally happening, there is no possibility that it just happened.
Right.
So it demands of us to recognize the miraculous intervention of God with man all through the first covenant. And some have the opinion that there was a ceasing of the miraculous with the death of the apostles. But one thing I've observed, we have not had a cessation of the work of the devil. And so God would not leave us without,
amen,
after all of those years of prophetic work, we have the prophets, we have the miracles that are done, we have the prophetic words that are given to the coming Messiah, and then the Messiah himself who says to us, you will do greater works than I do. The plan of God is that the church is fully resourced with God's presence, his saving power, and his operative power in our life.
Amen.
And I'm just one of those people that believe signs, wonders, and miracles are still a part of who God is in the life of the church.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Today we're at a break point, and so what you've heard so far, contemplate. We have a song coming up. It's one hopefully most people know. It's called Mary, Did You Know?
Love this song.
This is by Voctiv.
Yeah. A lot of gospel in it.
Oh, it's a lot of great gospel. Listen and enjoy, and we'll be back in about exactly 4 minutes.
Did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your child that you've delivered will soon deliver you? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels tread? And when you kiss have kissed the face of God. Did you know your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Wow, Mary, did you know? That's a powerful tune.
It's powerful.
I get Holy Spirit chills every time I listen to that.
Amen.
You know? Well, welcome back to the front line. If you're just tuning in, the guest we had scheduled had a family emergency and couldn't be here. So rather than put in a backup program, because this was Christmas week, God said, why don't you talk about Christmas? And so our guest is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
They're all here. And we finished our first segment out looking at the Old Testament prophecies of the coming of Christ. And now in the second segment, we're going to look at the Annunciation, where the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and tells her what God's plan is for her life. And I'm going to ask Jonathan to read that scripture. It's Luke 1, verse 26 to 38.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Amen. You know, I've whenever I hear this and I think back to a sermon that one of the, in my home church before I went to seminary, that was preached by the associate pastor on the Christmas Eve, I think it was. And, or no, it was actually the Sunday before, but anyway. And for the first time, that was a young Christian back then, but I never thought of the fact that God was calling Mary to bear his son. At that time, without a husband, she was an unwed pregnant teenager.
Mm-hmm. In a guarantees.
No guarantees.
That Joseph None. Would stick around, and nope. Why should he?
No. Exactly. Yeah. But looking back, the angel said, for nothing will be impossible with God.
Right.
Powerful.
But the statement goes way beyond her getting pregnant by the Holy Spirit. It is nothing, meaning the entire scope of what God is calling to you will not be impossible. So when she thought of, what's my father going to say? What's Joseph going to say? What's the community, my family, and this town I'm living in when they start seeing me get pregnant? You know, and I'm not married. What are they going to say? God had covered all of that, not to stop them from expressing their opinions, but giving her the grace to be faithful and joyful in that very difficult call he put on her life. And that's true for us because Mary's no different. You know, she was no greater than any other person God called to minister.
Absolutely not.
So maybe you're thinking today, I just heard a call from God and it's scaring the you-know-what out of me, and what am I going to do? Well, there's your answer.
That's right.
And actually, all of us are on mission. We may not dissect our day or our schedule, our calendar, maybe our blessings or our challenges, and look at that as a part of God's agenda. But actually, we who are in Christ and understand the sovereignty of God, nothing is happening by the throw of the dice. Our God is absolutely sovereign over
Amen.
All things.
Absolutely.
And this reality that God knows the details, all of them, not just what we understand, but behind the scene, God is at work. And Romans speaks to that all things, that means even the enemy must surrender and show up for assignments, because even the enemy must work to accomplish the will and the purpose of God. He has no other option.
That's right.
Amen.
And
absolutely.
If you're sitting there thinking, well, if it's all up to God, I just got to sit back and watch. Well, no. let me tell you that
9 months later,
we do have free will.
Well, we do have free will.
And we need to make that choice. We need to make the choice that, yes, my life belongs to God, and I'm going to do exactly what he leads me to do. Because we have the choice to just follow the world.
We do.
And I know I harp on that a lot when we're on the station here, but it's the distractions of the world are the devil's biggest tool to keep us away from the truth of Christ.
Amen, exactly.
Well, this season does call us to trust God, to look at the lives of those who trusted God with what seemed to be impossible. I mean, historically, it never happened. I mean, think about it. It's no different than Noah being called to build an ark. What's that, you know? But here's Mary. It's her life. It's her reputation. It's everything she's dreamed about. It's everything about her future. It involves every aspect of life, and called upon to trust God from Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Amen.
Lean not on your own understanding. Yeah. If she had been leaning on her understanding, it would have driven her right off the track.
Proverbs 3, 5 and 6.
But how many times in our life, it's natural, it's human, but we are not limited to the natural and the human.
Absolutely.
We are born into the spiritual family, and we have the Spirit of God in us. So that passage is so important. Lean not on our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him means we seek his direction. That's... And did Mary not do that by saying, I think the King James actually says, may it be unto me as you have spoken.
As you have spoken.
Yes, exactly right.
Whatever you say, amen. And amen means, I agree, I accept this assignment.
That verse from Proverbs that you quoted, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Yes.
That's my life verse.
Oh, that's a great verse.
We I probably should mention that we may have listeners out there that are prompted. They have a response to what you've said thus far. You may want to call in. You can do that.
Yeah.
You have to have
they
a phone.
They may have questions.
Yeah. They may have questions.
Things you don't
throw
understand.
Something out, we can kick around. The number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. You'll have to give me a minute to race out of the studio and grab the phone, transfer the call. And my brother Ed is going to use his index finger of his left
hand. He's able to do it.
To turn the phone on in here so we can. And the pot's already up, so all we have to do is answer the phone.
But I'm right-handed.
Uh-oh. My whole plan has gone down the drain.
There you go.
Darn it. Well, okay. We'll live without it.
Do we have a minute before the break?
Yeah, we do, actually.
Okay.
1 minute.
One other thought that I've heard so many people say, and Ed, both you and David have been involved in ministry. And I will hear from people, well, God's never done anything miraculous in my life, you know. Or why is it that I was praying for this, it never happened. Or I haven't seen it happen. And this was the first time that this had ever happened and the last time it ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are needing God to work in your life in a first-time way, understand this is in the Word of God, so we can understand that all things are possible with God. Mm-hmm. But let me say this. It must be according to His Word.
Thank you.
It Amen. Must be according That's, to His will. It must be according to His means and methods. We do not make the rule book. He does.
The Word says, you have not, for you ask not.
True. Right.
Because true. You ask with the wrong intention.
There you go. Yep.
And if you're saying you have no miracle in your life, well, your birth, your very being is miraculous.
Yes.
The Absolutely. Problem is it's become so mundane that even church people turn their backs when abortions happen.
Yeah.
I didn't want to bring that in so much, but to say, yeah. look, you know, God cares enough about life that He brought you into the world.
Yeah.
And your formation in the womb, that's miraculous. You know, and well, it was not accidental.
It says
was
he knew you before you were in your mother's womb.
Exactly.
He Every had already hair on your head is you. Counted. You're carved in the palm of his hand.
Exactly right.
Well, Dave, you were probably correct to say something about the whole abortion issue, because many children have been aborted because the families did not want to bear with the shame.
Yeah.
They did not want to deal with the embarrassment. They either yeah. sent their daughter out of town or did right. something like that.
Or, but, as the Word says, Joseph. Put her away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Quietly. He was going to do it quietly.
Yeah.
But when you look in the Word of God, you look at Moses, there was an attack of the enemy against the children, trying yep. to destroy the coming promise. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the Messiah, and we have Herod, who is destroying the children,
yes.
taking the lives of perhaps hundreds, maybe into the thousands of children. We don't know the exact number. Why? To stop the promised Messiah.
Amen.
And today, what is the enemy up to? The Word of God says that 144,000 righteous Jews will be raised up that are
Amen.
Going to be messengers in
Amen.
The last day.
Amen.
I believe in part the enemy is trying to kill the anointed that God is in the process of raising up today.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
I believe that. With that thought, we're now going to go for a little break, and we're going to hear from Elevation Worship, a very familiar Christmas tune. O little town of Bethlehem.
Bethlehem.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all are met in thee tonight. Oh,
child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
This is going and great. Welcome back. We are just rolling along here in the front line. Very little different approach today because those just tuning in, the guest we had scheduled today had a family emergency and couldn't show up. So we decided, the Holy Spirit led us to come together and look at Christmas, which is appropriate since we look at Thursday.
It's coming.
It's coming quickly.
quicker
than we think. And so we are we're looking at, we broke the program up into three segments. The first one, looking at the Old Testament prophecies of the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ. Mm-hmm. And then in this last segment we did, we were looking at the angel Gabriel revealing to Mary what God was calling her to do, to be the mother of Christ, and all that went with that. And now this third segment we are starting is the actual birth of Christ as Amen. It's recorded in the Gospel of Luke, and that's Luke 2, verse 1 through 20. And Ed's going to start us off with the reading, and then I'm going to kick in and wrap it up from verse 15 okay. on.
Yeah, Luke 2, 1 to 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration which Quirinius, who was governor of Syria, and all that went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of Bethlehem a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those with whom he is pleased."
When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And all of this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
And it is, and that's a powerful story.
Oh, yeah.
Again, linking it Old Testament, then the New Testament story of Mary being visited by Gabriel with this very interesting and challenging message for her. And then, of course, following through, full-term child being born in a very humble setting. And that actually should tell us a lot about who Christ is, that God has revealed to me.
I just preached on part of this a couple of weeks ago, and the part of it I preached on was the lineage, where it speaks here of Joseph coming to Bethlehem to be registered and being in the lineage in the line of David.
Mm-hmm.
What most people don't understand is that Mary and Joseph were both out of the lineage of David.
Yes.
Adam and Eve, everyone talks about Cain and Abel being their children, mm-hmm. but they forget that there was another child, another male that's mentioned, Seth.
Yes.
And Seth is the line that Noah comes out of. And from Noah on to Shem, and from Shem on to David. And from David, it goes on to Solomon and two of Solomon's sons. One was in the lineage to Joseph. The other was in the lineage to Mary.
Mm.
And that's how that traces all the way back to the beginning. But when we say in the line of David, and then again in here it says, who is Christ the Lord? Well, people say Christ. Oh, that's his last name. If you go in the Jerusalem phone book, you're not going to say Christ, Yeshua bar Yahweh.
No,
it doesn't say that.
Right.
You know? Christ means the anointed one.
Mm-hmm.
It means this is the one you've been waiting for. This is the anointed one.
The Messiah.
The Savior, the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we want to go into the esoteric part of this, but I think a little bit of education on the part of our people is good, too, that they understand, again, that we trace that all the way back to the Old Testament. In the beginning of time, when God already planned and said, this is going to happen.
Amen.
That's good. I was listening to Jonathan Kahn talk about Bethlehem and David and the importance of us recognizing that there is significance, as you're talking about mm-hmm. the lineage, there's significance in looking at that.
Amen.
Yeshua had to be of the lineage of David, or Absolutely. Else he cannot be the Messiah. So very important. And Jonathan Kahn was talking about when you go to Israel today, that Bethlehem is not under the jurisdiction of the Israeli government. That's actually an Arab area, and so buses change and a lot of stuff happens. And you end up being taken to a church, and they take you down into a little room and say, well, this is the place, you know. And so if you look at pictures, you pull that up, you're probably going to see that. But I liked what he said. He said, when we take tours, we ask our tour guide to find a place out in the country that's on the elevated hills, maybe where we're able to overlook Bethlehem. He said there's an area actually where there are shepherds who are taking care of their flocks, and he takes his groups, I guess, at night. And how some of the secularization, just the trinkets and the glamour that gets added into Christmas kind of takes away from the story. But how it still is very important when you look at these details, it's very important you think about that. And, of course, we have some that will call us and say, well, you know, Christmas has become about trees, trinkets, gifts, and such forth. But certainly we are not celebrating the date. We don't celebrate that date and say this is the date. We do not celebrate the gifts to us. We celebrate the gift from God to us. And so I know some have a problem with some of the secular that's around it, but why not be a light during this time of the year when Amen. So many who are Amen. In darkness
mm-hmm.
are open to receive that? And that certainly is my choice. And I said it a couple weeks ago in a message that this season, the bumper sticker's been out a long time, that he is the reason for the season.
Right.
But I want to say, yes, he is the reason for the season, but let's get a little more personal. We are the reason for the season.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. If we were not lost, if we didn't need a Savior, there would have been no need for him to come.
Absolutely.
He came for you. You're listening today. Mm-hmm. He came for you.
Amen.
You have problems in your personal life. You have addictions in your life. You have issues in your marriage. You have issues with your children. You have financial issues. You have mental mm-hmm. issues. You have emotional issues. Jesus came for you today.
Amen.
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 And when you think the Christmas gift, the any gift you've gotten, as magnificent as it might have been or will be, just pales in comparison to the gift of Jesus Christ.
Cannot be compared. Absolutely.
Cannot be compared.
No. No.
And I would hope more people would come around to embracing that.
Yeah. Every day we have is a gift. That's why we call it the present.
Right.
So it's appropriate for us to say, if you have not received the gift of eternal life,
mm-hmm.
we're here today because Amen. We want you to know that's Amen. What this season's all about.
That's right.
It is.
And if there's a hole in your heart, and if you don't have the gift of God, the Son of God in your life, then there's a hole in your heart. If you have a hole in your heart today, then right now, there couldn't be a more perfect time than right now, saying, there's room in my heart for you. Yeah. Come to my heart. Yeah. Doesn't take a long, big prayer.
No.
I need you. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I repent of my sins. I turn from my sins. Come into my heart.
Mary
Jesus.
Said that.
She did. She did.
Yeah,
didn't
in she? The she Magnificat, did. She yeah. said, I need a Savior.
She did. She said, my yes. Lord, my Savior.
My
she,
Savior.
A very, very yeah. important part of
that's
that.
Right.
Very
that's
important
right.
part.
When you know, you talked about a hole. You're right. Every one of us has a God-shaped void within us. We're going to fill it with something.
We're created.
Yeah.
Yes.
To be filled with God.
Well, that's true, but we don't always fill it with God.
That's true. That's true.
We fill it with golf
yeah.
or sailing or...
Yeah.
alcohol or sex or whatever, and that becomes our whole purpose for being.
Yeah.
And it doesn't quite fill that void because it's not shaped that way. It's shaped like God. And if you
only
don't
God
let God fill that void, that empty space in your heart, you're going to still have empty space no matter what. So if you feel like, well, you say Jesus died for every one of us. Well, he doesn't even know me. Yeah, he does.
He does.
Intimately.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. We're going to have one last break, and it made a little shift on the music, by the way. I went. We're going to hear Norris Weir, lovely God man. He used to have a program here in Caribbean Gospel Train. I love this brother. And the other day I heard his version of O Holy Night.
Mm.
And I put something else in. Remember, Jonathan, we were talking. But then as I'm thinking, and I went back to the list, and I said, you know, I love Norris's version. Let's hear that. So having said that, let's do that.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long live the whole world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoiced. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angels' voices. Oh, life divine. When Christ was born, oh, night divine, oh, night divine, oh,
And such a powerful piece.
Yeah.
So well done.
Yeah.
So well done. Yeah. We still hear from the Weir family. They still are part of our family, really. Listen, support,
yeah,
donate.
They are definitely there.
Thank you so much for the gift. Yeah. Oh, blessing.
And the gift that they, you know, he's with the Lord now, but
yes.
His ministry, his music ministry continues.
Yeah. And what a voice.
More than one place, more than here, everywhere. And the people is inspired to go into music ministry. You think of those, replication of those gifts. It's
tremendous.
Awesome. Tremendous. And this, again, at Christmas, you know, we get that one theme is gift giving. And as I'd said before the break, the greatest gift is Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Word of God tells us that God wants all of the people he's created to spend eternity with him. Unfortunately, after the fall, Adam and Eve and their sin, all humanity became broken and sin-tainted. And God decided the only way to make a pathway to God for eternity is through his son Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross for our sin. That's the only way. That was the gift we celebrate every Christmas.
Amen.
So when we celebrate the birth of Christ, we are immediately linked to the cross.
Amen.
We must have that linkage.
Yeah.
But so the key is, that's what God did for us. And if you're listening right now and you don't have Christ in your life, you may have in your head. A lot of people have a concept of Jesus. Concepts are interesting. We form them from things we hear from the world.
Right.
But what you need is Christ himself. And you might have thought, well, why would he want to be with me? And you know your sin. You know it. I know my sin.
Mm.
Before I met Jesus, I could list. And that list, when you start making it, you're immediately, the devil's going to come in and say, well, why would you even think he'd want to have anything to do with you? But the Word of God, the whole Bible, really, that was revealed to us that God wants to have everything to do with us, not just here in our limited history on earth, but forever in heaven, in the kingdom of God. And ultimately, when all this is done in the new heaven and the new earth, he wants us there. But we have to choose.
Amen.
The only way he's given us to be with him, and that's Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, most of you know, if we don't do that, we will live forever, but it won't be with God.
Yeah. As I said,
and that's
once
part
before,
of the message.
As I said once before, there was a preacher that made a statement that really struck me. Hell is the default.
Hell is the default setting.
That's it was not the desire or plan of God.
No.
And Ed,
it's
you
the
were
default setting.
You were earlier talking about, and we were talking about that God has created this cavity in the heart of every man, so no man can have an excuse, because God is calling us from conception, really.
Absolutely.
But the whoever said that, at least maybe not the first, but the statement, there's a God-shaped hole inside of us, and you can search the world over, but you're not going to find anything that fills that void in your life. And David, you mentioned
absolutely
so many of those things. And it could not be found in the synagogue. It could not be. It was not the temple. It was not the synagogue. It was not in the ceremony. It was not in the civil law.
Absolutely.
And they didn't even find it in the moral law.
Nope.
Yeah.
And we cannot find it in religion, in a religious institution. We cannot find it in mom or dad. We can't force it into our kids. It's only found through a personal invitation to
absolutely
Father God.
Absolutely.
And welcoming the gift of eternal life into our own lives.
Amen.
And this is the difference between being righteous and religious.
Yeah. Amen. And you know, I know we have listeners right now who are hungry to have what you just talked about.
Amen.
We just talked about
it.
Jonathan, because you're the anointed general manager here at the radio station, and really, literally, you know, the God's authority for this ministry, would you pray, would you lead those people hungry for Christ in a prayer to receive his gift today?
If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. And so in Jesus' name, I invite you to pray along with me. In Jesus' name, I confess that I am a sinner. I believe in my heart that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth and received him, believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. I confess that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, who lived and died and rose from the dead and is interceding, even right now for me. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Be Lord of my life. Fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Empower me. Use me. Guide me. Direct me as your son or daughter in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
God did that to me when I was 15 years old, and I have never been normal since.
And praise God for that.
Normal's not fun.
Normal is not fun.
I certainly would not have been here.
No.
I doubt if I would have been alive.
I can testify to that.
I think all of us here, for a variety of the same reasons, really, as being humans before Christ, the things we were doing, the things we had adhered to, and the idols in our lives would have killed us if we hadn't met. I know for myself, several addictions, any one of which would have put me in the grave early.
Yeah.
But for grace.
I was into the occult when I was in the service, and I can remember standing on the deck of a destroyer doing about 20 knots in the middle of the Mediterranean, looking over the side and saying, it would just take a second for me to do that, to see if there's another level of existence. Edgar Casey and Ruth Montgomery books were in my locker.
The Lies of the Enemy.
The Holy Spirit hit me. I went down and got all those books. They're pitched on the bottom of the Mediterranean somewhere right now.
Fish food. Yeah.
How dangerous that is, Ed. I won't give last name, but the man's name was Richard. Had probably close to 35 years to minister to him, but Richard said, 30 seconds after I'm gone, I'll know whether or not there's a God.
Yep.
I said, Richard, that's too late.
That's too late.
Yeah, exactly. That is too late.
Too late. Today's the day. And you can start again today.
Amen. Yes.
That's right.
It's not too late. You can start again today. God has not run out of opportunity for you.
I do every morning.
Amen. His mercies are new every morning, aren't they?
And I would encourage that, but I also say, do it now. Don't wait to be on a deathbed.
Amen. It's true.
Do it now, because the life that you read about that's promised to you in the kingdom, you can start now.
That's it.
If you wait till the 11th hour, you could die at 10:30.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I'm looking at the clock. I really hate to look at, hate clocks.
I know.
Not really. It's probably too extreme, but the clock's telling us we have to say goodbye. Jonathan, thank you for joining us today.
This has been a great time with you,
man.
Brothers.
Absolutely.
Thank you for letting me in.
Well, brother, you're the God's the one that issued the, and I'm just happy that you were able.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And Ed, of course, always wonderful to work with you. Next week, we'll probably have Ann back from her wonderful cruise.
So we should say Merry Christmas to everyone, shouldn't we?
We should.
That's right.
How about we do this all together?
Yeah, let's do it.
Merry Christmas. God bless you all.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.